thank you, Zach, Linda, and Cheryl, for leading us in our time of worship together this morning. It is always a joy to gather together in the house of the Lord to worship and glorify His name. And it is a great morning to be gathered together this morning. Before I get there, I just want to make a few additional announcements. One pertaining to the background check that's not been said the last few weeks is that please include your Social Security number. It makes Blenda's job a whole lot easier. Do not worry. We do not let that information get outside of this building. As a matter of fact, as soon as the background checks are ran and back, those get shredded. So there's no trace of them. So please include that bit of information for Blenda. The next is just a reminder. I know it's in your bulletin, but February 23rd is Chest of Joash Sunday, meaning that during our offering, that any loose cash, change, or undesignated funds that are given in the offering go into the Chest of Joash as a way to rebuild those funds so we can take care of some of the projects that your trustees have identified and continue to identify that our facilities need. The biggest project that they have identified that will be undertaken beginning of 2026 when the funds are there, because this year is a rebuilding year for Chest of Joash after it was nearly depleted when funds were all spent on the parsonage last year. Funds that you gave above and beyond your regular tithe and offering is the carpet here in the sanctuary. That it's been a couple of decades since this carpet was taken care of, and you'll notice that there are some tears happening. Now been patched by duct tape. We figured duct tape was better to look at than one of you who use a walker or something assisted to get you around and catching a tear and falling down. We figured that we don't want to see, but we can bear the duct tape. But that is one of the big projects that we would like to see happen in 2026, but to do that, we need to rebuild the Chest of Joash. And that comes from a passage in the Chronicles when King Joash, it was laid on his heart to see the temple of the Lord rebuilt. And so he created a chest that would go out to all the peoples and be filled and brought back to where funds were used to rebuild the temple of the Lord, the house of the Lord. And so one of my predecessors, I think it may have been an interim, I can be corrected if I'm wrong after the service, thought it would be beneficial for this church to have their own Chest of Joash fund, where those funds are used to go into our facilities above and beyond what is already given in our regular offering. So once a quarter for this year and moving forward, but this year being a rebuilding year for Chest of Joash, we designate a Sunday to where any loose giving that's not otherwise designated for missions or our general offering goes into Chest of Joash to make sure those funds are always there for generations to come, because it's not just your desire but my desire, knowing that our time is limited on this earth, that these facilities stay here on the corner of Dunsmuir and Cleveland for generations to come until the Lord calls each one of us home to glory. Amen? Amen. That's the only announcements I had. And without further delay, I want us to turn to Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. So if you have your copy of God's Word, I encourage you to take that out and turn with me to Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. We are, of course, in the beginning stages of our series through the book of Genesis, the beginning of God's revelation to us as the one true God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the author of our salvation, the sustainer and giver of life. And how we look at the book of Genesis, as I have said, dictates how we view the rest of Scripture, especially as it being God's revelation of himself to us. For Genesis is just the beginning of God's revelation of who he is to his most beloved creation. And this morning, we take a look at the final day in the creation account when God rests. And so, without further delay, let us read Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Moses, under the inspiration and guidance of the Spirit of God, records for us in Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, these words. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy and your grace in our life. And ask this morning, Father, as we do every time we open up your word to glean from it what we may, not just how we ought to live, but to know you more intimately, that you would reveal to us your truth above all else. That even in the words that I have prepared this morning from your word, Father, that you would guide my speech, that you would make clear the intent you have for us in this portion of your word. Father, we love you and we praise you. We ask this in your Son's precious and holy name. Amen. Just three verses this morning I want us to look at. Three verses pertaining to the seventh day, when God rested from his work. And the first thing I want to draw to your attention from these three verses is the reality that this is the end of the creation story. That nothing more is created, nothing more is being done other than God resting from his work. But I want to make a distinction here, because I think the wording out of my translation, the English Standard Version, gets a little wrong on when it says that on the seventh day God finished his work. For no work was done on the seventh day. All the work that was done days 1 through 6. And I think it's an earlier version of the New International Version and of the New American Standard Bible that have a better reading of these few verses. And that both of them, though their wording after these short words are a little different but still carry the same meaning, say in a similar fashion but very differently, and by the seventh day, God completed his work which he had done. Making a very distinction that in my translation that I teach out of week in and week out, it says, and on the seventh day God finished. But these other two say, and by the seventh day. A subtle distinction, but a distinction nonetheless. Because it's showing that God had finished his work already. No more work is to be done on the seventh day, but it is a day of rest. For all the work was done on days 1 through 6. That the days of creation were complete by day 6. The culmination being the creation of man. And again, the creation story is not about the creation of man, as I pointed out last week, but it is about pointing to the Creator. We are mere image bearers of that. But the days of creation were complete on day 6. Filled with everything, filled with every living creature, every beast of the field, every bird of the air, every fish of the sea, and even the hosts of them, meaning the sun, the stars, and the moon. And we know that to be the host because of several other passages that use a similar wording of the host in them, such as Deuteronomy 4:19, where we see these words for us. And beware lest you raise your eyes to heaven, and when you see the sun and the moon and the stars, all the host of heaven, meaning just those three things, now the host of heaven, you be drawn away and bow down to them and serve them, the things that the Lord your God has allotted to all peoples under the whole heaven. And I use that passage as an emphasis to the reality that the host is not talking about the living creatures, but the sun, the moon, and the stars that fill the sky above. And even the psalmist writes in Psalm 33, verse 6, By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their host. Meaning the sun, the moon, the stars. When God said in the days of creation, let there be light, and there was light. And then he made a light for the day, and he called it the sun, and a light for the night, he called the moon, to govern the night and govern the day. And then he filled the heavens with stars. Days of creation were complete by day six. And by day seven, God had already finished everything, and he rested. And when he rested, he made this day holy. That God rests from his work on day seven. And I want to reiterate that man may have been an important event of the preceding 6 days. But again, man, the creation is not about man. This seventh day, this day that God rests, urges us to keep God in view throughout all the days of creation, throughout all that has been created, and what he is about to do on this day. That even though man was an important event, it was not the event. It was not the purpose in the creation story. Why? All that had been created points us, at least it ought to the Creator, God. The days of creation are not culminating in the creating of man as the willful, moral, comprehending inhabitant that is to subdue all of creation and to be fruitful and multiply. No, it is about the Creator and his revelation of himself to his creation. The author of Christ-centered exposition commentary writes these regarding Genesis. Writes that the climax of the Genesis creation story then is not the making of mankind, but the Sabbath rest of God. Why? Because the primary purpose of the creation account is not what is created, but who created it. Emphasizes the fact that the Sabbath rest of God is the climax of the creation story. Why? Because it is about the one who created it, not the created. And when we take that into view, it leads into our next point this morning from these few verses on God resting from all of his work, that it is the purpose. What is the purpose of the seventh day? Well, for us, the purpose of the seventh day, as I said, draws our attention back to the Creator God. That it was God who made the seventh day holy. It was God who created all things in the preceding 6 days. It is God who had set this day apart, who has made it holy. Some translations will say has consecrated this day. It is a day that has been made for rest. And I appreciate that the author of this commentary I just quoted brings into view the term Sabbath, because the Sabbath was not mandated until the law was given. It was in Exodus chapter 16, verses 22 and 23, where Moses is talking to the nation of Israel about what they are to do on the sixth day in preparation for the seventh. That in Exodus 16, 22 and 23, Moses says these words to the nation of Israel. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers each. And when all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, he said to them, this is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over, lay aside to be kept till the morning. The first instance of Israel hearing about the seventh day being a day of rest, other than if they went back to the Genesis account and see that on the seventh day, God rested and made it holy. That when we read in Genesis 2 of God resting on the seventh day, The word rest in Hebrew is the root where we get Sabbath. And then we see it actually explicitly commanded for the Sabbath to be kept as a day of rest, as a holy day set aside to rest from all the work. When we read in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11, Moses again saying to the nation of Israel, according to the word of the Lord, remember the Sabbath day, the seventh day, to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor. Why? Because 6 days the Lord labored. But on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Why? Because on the seventh day the Creator rested from his work. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in the 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath, the seventh day, the day of rest, and made it holy. And when we take that into account, that the purpose of the seventh day was to be made a day of rest, to draw us back to remembering it is about the Creator, not the created, that has been made to be set apart, to be made holy, we realize that when we stop here and consider Genesis 2, 1 through 3, that the original Sabbath, the rest of God on the seventh day, was intended to have no end. Why? Because creation was perfect. There was no sin at this point. That God's rest that he took on the seventh day was to be eternal. And this very reality is made evident by the lack of the following statement, which many commentators agree on. That you will notice a statement lacking from this that there was in the preceding 6 days. Then there was evening, then there was morning. A statement that signifies the ending of a day and the starting of a new one. The seventh day was the end of creation, and then the week repeats itself. But this original Sabbath, this eternal Sabbath of the Lord God, becomes interrupted by sin, by the fall of man. Of course, we know that God knew this all along, that it was his plan of salvation even before the foundations of creation were laid. God knew the sin of man would put an end to this eternal Sabbath, this rest that he intended. Which is why we see in Exodus, the Lord telling Moses to command that the Sabbath day, the seventh day, be a day of rest. To make them remember the Creator, to draw their attention back, not from their labors, but to draw their attention back to the Lord. Why? Because this Sabbath rest was interrupted in just a few short chapters after the creation of man, the creation account that goes into a bit more depth, which we will take a look at next week, the latter half of the sixth day when God creates man and places him and Eve in the garden. But then we get to Genesis 3, the fall of man, the corruption of man, the sin of man against the Creator that puts an end to the Sabbath rest. Why? Because we read in Genesis 3, 8 through 9, these words. And then they, that is Adam and Eve, heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" This rest of the Lord was interrupted to where God was walking in the garden searching for Adam and Eve, who had hidden themselves, because now their eyes were open to the very reality that they were naked. Why? Because they had sinned against God, that they were tempted by the evil one and took of the of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which God had already forbade them, telling them that in the day that they take of it, they will surely die. Now their eyes were open to the very reality that they did sin against God, and so they hid themselves from him, interrupting the rest that was to be theirs. That even though God commanded them in the days of creation to be fruitful and multiply and inhabit the earth and have dominion over all the earth and subdue it, that it wouldn't have been as laborsome as it now will be from the fall. For God tells man that he will labor day and night by the sweat of his brow, essentially. That the ground, the land, creation will essentially break him down, wear him out, because they have forsaken the command of the Lord. When we see that the seventh day is about drawing us back to the Creator and what he has intended for us, we realize then of our continued need for the Sabbath, of resting, not just from our works, but resting in the Lord, remembering what he has done for us. And to help us understand our continued need for the Sabbath, we need to see that the work of God was finished in creation. We need to see that this was finished in creation, and emphasis on finished. That even though our translation, many of our translations read that all of creation was completed, I think ESV, maybe a few others, do change completed to finished. That essentially it's God saying, it is finished. It is completed. It is done. My work is done. We need to see that as a parallel to what Christ says on the cross. When he says in his last breath, it is finished. Meaning his work of salvation is done. He has done all that he has been called to do by the will of the Father in giving up his life as the perfect and pleasing sacrifice. Christ says his work is finished. Just as God said his work was finished in creation, Christ now says his work is finished in salvation. That God's work of salvation, having been wrought through Christ's sacrifice, is the justification by faith in Christ. It is salvation by the grace of God. It is redemption from sin by the precious blood of the Lamb. And is the finished work of God through Jesus Christ. That we can see the parallel of God in creation finishing his work to the parallel of Jesus Christ finishing the work of salvation on our behalf. It is in Christ that we once again, as was intended in creation, find the rest of God so many hunger for, so many seek to know. That Christ, when he was still in his preaching and teaching ministry, says these words for us, recorded by Matthew in his gospel account in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus is recorded as saying these words, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This point is further emphasized in what the author of Hebrews writes for us. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, the author of Hebrews emphasizes the rest so many seek, the rest that God promises because of the day of rest we see in the Genesis account of creation. The author of Hebrews writes these words for us. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them, because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we have believed, enter that rest, as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world, that means the salvation of God was already planned and finished. For he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way. And God rested on the seventh day from his works. And again in this passage he said, they shall not enter my rest. When he ushered Adam and Eve out of the garden, never to know his rest again until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter it because of disobedience, but again he points a certain day, today, saying through David so long ago afterward, in the words already quoted, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Meaning our laboring in vain. Realizing that it is not us who can achieve our salvation, but it is God alone through Jesus Christ who has given us salvation. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. Hear that Christ has given us rest just as he has called us to in Matthew chapter 11. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest from the real, from trying to bring about your own salvation, and being made aware that it is not our works that can give us our salvation, but it is the work of God through Jesus Christ and what he has accomplished on the cross of Calvary. The work God did in creation, he finished on the seventh day. The work God did in salvation, he accomplished through Jesus Christ. Our rest from work is not in evidence as earning our salvation. Though we are called to still honor the Sabbath, to rest, to give our bodies rest, when we take into account what is being said in Hebrews chapter 4, it is from trying to strive to gain salvation. So many run themselves ragged and weary trying to earn salvation by doing good works, by giving money to countless organizations, thinking that it will be in their favor when they stand before the God of heaven and earth, the God of creation, and yet that is not the case. Yes, we are called to works, but only to give evidence of what Christ has done for us on the cross of Calvary. We are still called to rest, though, but not as evidence of earning our salvation, because it is only by the work of God through Jesus Christ. Salvation just the same as creation was done by God's work alone. Salvation just the same was and is by God's work alone through Jesus Christ alone. And Paul emphasizes this very fact in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, saying, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, not as a result of keeping the law perfectly because no one can, not as giving your tithes and offerings regularly or making the right sacrifices, because even those pale in comparison, those fade. when stacked up against the sacrifice God made through Jesus Christ. Paul says, so that no one may boast. For your salvation is not by your own works. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, to go on telling of his saving faith, which God prepared before him that we should walk in them. Our day of rest leads us to that very reality of knowing that our work does not earn us salvation, but the work we are called to by the precious blood of the Lamb and saving faith in Jesus Christ means that we give God the glory, that we still labor for God to point others to him, that when we are called to rest on the Sabbath day, that we are called to rest from our work, which allows us, affords us the time to reflect on what God has provided the last week, and then prepare ourselves to worship and glorify him with the gathering of the saints on the Lord's Day, which is today. And I want to make that distinction between the Sabbath day and the Lord's Day to you this morning, because so often they get confused. That distinction is made for us when we take into account church history, especially from the day of Pentecost. That Warren Wiersbe and many other commentators like him make this emphasis on the Sabbath day and the Lord's Day. He writes for us in his exposition commentary on Genesis, saying the first Christian believers met daily for worship and fellowship, but they also gathered together on the first day of the week, the day Christ's resurrection from the dead. The first day was known as the Lord's Day. And to make the Lord's Day into a Christian Sabbath is to confuse what these two days stand for in God's plan for salvation. The seventh day of the week, the Jewish Sabbath, symbolizes the old creation and the covenant of the law. First you work, then you rest. The first day of the week, the Lord's Day, symbolizes the new creation and the covenant of grace. First you believe in Christ and find rest, then you work. In the new creation, God's Spirit enables us to make the entire week an experience of worship, praise, and service to the glory of God. I make that emphasis this morning because this day we gather together, the Lord's Day, this Sunday, is meant for us to prepare for the work ahead of us. And then at the end of the week, we rest and look back on what all has taken place and what God has done in order then to better prepare ourselves for the next gathering of the saints, the body of Jesus Christ, to join together to encourage one another, to build up one another, to admonish one another, to challenge one another for the next week of work. And as Wiersbe says at the close of this portion that I just quoted, to make the entire week an experience of worship, praise, and service to the glory of God. Our gathering is meant to encourage each of us, to challenge each of us, to exhort each of us, to discipline each of us in the service that lay ahead in the week to come, but also to remind us that the Sabbath day was made for us to rest from our work, to glorify God, to praise his name for what he has done, not just in and through us by the power of the Spirit, but what he has done for us through Jesus Christ, the precious Lamb of God. For Christ reminds us, while he's speaking to the religious elite of his day, when they were telling Jesus to have his disciples stop what they were doing on the Sabbath. And Christ reminds them very pointedly these words recorded for us in Mark's gospel. And Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." The day of rest, the day that God set apart to rest from his work that he intended for all to experience but was interrupted because of sin, but has given us access to again the rest that he has for us through Jesus Christ. To rest from trying to strive for our own salvation by our works, by our money, by whatever we could say or do, and to realize that he alone has finished that work. The Sabbath day is a day for us to rest and reflect, not on our works, but on the work of God alone, through Jesus Christ alone. And then we gather together on the Lord's Day to celebrate what God has done for us, what God has done through us for his own glory, and to encourage one another. I invite you in the next few minutes to reflect on the Sabbath rest that we see in Genesis chapter 2. The rest God intended for all of us to have, but marred by the sin of man, as so much of what God has created had been done. But God has made right through his Son, Jesus Christ, and invites us to have, when we profess faith, not just with our mouth, but with our hearts, that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of our lives. The rest that Christ invited so many to when he said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." But he doesn't just stop there with that statement. He says, "Take my yoke upon you, for my burden is light and easy," meaning he is still calling us to work, to labor, not on our own behalf, not for our own satisfaction or our own glorification, but to glorify and praise God with the work that we have been born to by the precious blood of the Lamb. And I love what Paul says in that Ephesians 2 passage. "For we are his workmanship, born by the blood of the Lamb to do good works." Not as evidence that we have earned our salvation, because no, we have not, so that none may boast, but we boast in Jesus Christ. You respond in these minutes. If you need someone to pray with you, myself and Ron will be up here to pray with. Whether it be about just something you're struggling in your life or needing encouragement to truly find rest in God, we'd love to pray with you. You want to talk about church membership and what it means to be an active and participating member, especially of Aberdeen Baptist, we'd love to have that conversation with you. You want to know more about how to grow in your walk with Christ, we'd love to have that conversation with you, which isn't just going to be a quick 5-minute conversation up here. It's going to be an ongoing conversation wherein you and I will need to meet throughout the weeks to come. If you have not yet followed Christ through a believer's baptism, we'd love to have that conversation with you. You respond according to however the Spirit is leading you. You respond in this time as Ron comes up. We'll be here for you. as you continue to respond where you're at, I want to encourage you that if you wanted to come up here, know, I get it, that it can be daunting to come up here by yourself. I feel like there's eyes on you as you come forward of people saying, what's going on in their lives? It's okay to have those fears. But know that you are loved by every person in this room this morning. If you still want to have a conversation with me, grab me after the service, or if you still don't want to do that, grab one of my cards on the back table. It's got my cell phone number on there, has my email address. Reach out to me this week. I'd love to meet with you one-on-one to see how I can better encourage you, minister you, and help guide you in your walk with the Lord. We serve a great and mighty God, and He has given us rest in Jesus Christ, that we remember on the Sabbath. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your mercy and Your grace, and that You have finally given us access to the rest that You have promised through Your Son, Jesus Christ, to those who are obedient and profess faith, not just with their mouth, but with their very hearts, with their lives, that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of their lives. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters here in this room this morning, that they would be encouraged, that they would be exhorted, that they would be challenged, not by my words, but by Your word, and be guided by Your Spirit in the week ahead of them, in whatever You have called them to do, that they would give You the glory, honor, and praise in everything, and worship You through everything. Lord, we love You and we praise You. We ask this in Your Son's precious and holy name. Amen.